V, she followed me into the streets. There's a vibe the whole time.
Soon it's gonna be the climb time. Cause we look like the cartel. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm addicted to right now. And I wanted to stay around. Tell your powers to calm down. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome to the Connected Collective, exploring virtual communities. My name is Kat Millman, and I am a first-year arts education major for my master's.
Hi, my name is Shannon Delaney, and I am in my, it's a one-year program for a master's in STEAM education, and my focus is in computer science and physics. Okay, so let's get this started. We'll start with a quick fun fact. How many people in the world do you think use the internet and social media, Kat?
Okay, so about 8 billion people in the world, let's say, I'd say maybe half, 4 billion would use the internet, and let's say about half of that, 2 billion would use social media. That's my guess.
You're right about 4 billion using the internet, but it's actually even more use social media. It's close to 3.2 billion that use the social media.
Wow, that's a lot closer to how many people use the internet than I would have thought. I would have thought there would be more of a gap there.
Yes, but so don't forget, social media includes things like YouTube and Pinterest, and so that broadens your range then more than just Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
You're right. I do tend to forget about YouTube as being a social media platform, but that's true.
Okay.
I'm sure many people may assume that the majority of learning happens at school, but the authors of Edo et al. Believe most learning actually happens in settings other than strictly educational ones. Shannon, where do you believe that these learning occurs?
I think learning really does happen in other locations. And one of these can be these like social communities, because when students are engaged, then that's when they want to learn. That's when they want to keep going and keep investing in their time and doing things. So they'll take the extra time to keep going into something and delving deeper than what they just get. A lot of times school is just the surface learning.
No, I definitely agree that kids are learning at all times, at home, in their environments, online, when they're playing even.
Yeah, and technically when they're learning through play, they're learning the best kind of way, because they're learning and they're having fun, and that's when, and when they're invested and they're playing and they're learning, like that kind of learning is what stays with them, much learning, much better than when it's just like a teacher-driven learning.
Must be, you know, what sticks the best.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely sticks much better. Now, Kat, what do you think connected learning is?
So according to the same reading, connected learning is learning that is socially embedded, interest-driven, and oriented towards expanding educational, economic, or political opportunity.
So I think this is definitely an interesting idea, that the idea that students are growing through this idea, because I've also been, I just finished reading the book, Raising a Self-Driven Child. And in that book, when kids are interested in something, they're more likely to find the different steps that they need to reach that goal. And so this idea that they get invested in this community helps them reach those goals on their own instead of having parents pushing them forward always.
Which is obviously not what we want for the students that we're teaching. We want them to be self-driven, of course. Connected learning, I also wanted to add, aligns with work in the sociology of childhood that examines how young people shape and are shaped within the broader social and cultural dynamics of the world.
Yes, so students are growing, and by getting themselves connected, they're seeing where they can go with these careers, because they see where people are using this information that they're finding. They're seeing connections to other places that they may not see in the classroom, too, when they take it outside.
And they're seeing, of course, they're seeing real-life connections, and that's where they're going to have information that they can retain and remember, because they're seeing it in real time, in real life.
Yes, exactly.
So, to me, connected learning feels almost obvious. Of course a student is going to learn outside of school, in their communities and through their environments, but that actually hasn't always been the case, right?
No, it has and it hasn't. Connected learning has changed over time. There was times when you were learning in work and thinking about it like you learned in the fields, you learned in different ways. But now these communities are key, because now we have these big virtual communities that are connecting a whole different set of worlds together, because now they just don't have to be in your neighborhood. They can be much further away, which is amazing.
Right. They have access to people that they would never have accessed before.
It's definitely changed the ability of connection, because your location is not as set as it had to be. You now can talk to somebody across the world just because you have the same interest. And that makes such a difference than beforehand.
It must have been way harder prior to these virtual communities to find people with similar interests and similar experiences that you want to discuss, but you can't do so because they're not always the people who are right immediately next to you in physical space.
Yeah, so it's that idea that you can get exactly what it's that give and take. You can find this information so much closer and you get more out of it, and finding exactly much more connections that might not have been there. And it can give you that safe place to find and grow and come forward with that information, because you're finding a much better connection than you would have had. And that's what these virtual communities allow, that were not available years ago before social networking had happened.
Totally. I definitely agree with that. Educational institutions can be stuck in their ways that didn't include this connected learning. And for them, this new developments that are occurring might feel disruptive, and expanding or changing this ideology to include the connected learning requires like a larger look at the greater system and at assessments and the role of that media and technology play in learning. And I know you're currently student teaching, so I'm curious how you believe you will incorporate connected learning into your classroom. Now that we know all of this.
Especially like in certain subjects, you have a little bit more freedom, and especially like a computer science class or a technology class, where you can have a little bit more freedom and letting kids explore their interests. So like I was working on with some students on that really love puzzles. And so then we took that idea, we started looking out that they could use their 3D, like while they were working on 3D printing, we could take in, and they were researching how they could make their own 3D puzzle boxes and combine that to those ideas. And this was like growing their ideas and letting them grow their own skills, because it's also an offline coding. It's a maze kind of puzzle too. So it was interesting how we can combine some different ideas together and let them grow and see what was out there too.
That's so interesting. What a great project.
So Catherine, do you see any ways that you could use this going forward as an art teacher?
So as an art teacher, I totally agree with the fact that in some subjects like ours, we have more freedom to tailor our projects and our lessons to include students' interests and pop culture, when it makes sense, of course. But I do think we have these opportunities and options to be able to personalize it a little more to our students, because it's not like they're learning like a math lesson where it has to be the facts. These are more interpretive subjects that we can definitely tailor them and leave openings for incorporating our students' own interests into our projects.
Yes, exactly.
In the Edo et al. Reading, they mentioned that there are four key elements present in all connected learning environments. One of them is sponsorship of youth interests, which I think you might know a little bit about.
Yes. So I also coach a high school robotics team. And so what's interesting about the high school robotics team is once they get their challenge, there's a whole community of college kids that build a robot in 3 days. Instead of where the high school kids do it over 6 weeks, there's a community that the college kids do it in 3 days and give the students ideas. And so they use a whole bunch of social media and different platforms to show off their ideas, but without giving them all the details of what they're doing. It's just to inspire them and to let them go. So as coaches, we look at that, students look at that, and we take that as a jumping board for them to create their own robots for the season. And it's amazing how that is such a great resource for everybody to go with that.
So it definitely sounds like those college students are providing affinity-based mentorship to your high school students.
Without ever knowing them each other.
Yeah. That's so wild. And then it also sounds like you're providing resources to these students, which is another one of those key ideas that we learned about in the Edo et al. Reading.
Yes.
So another study from that reading found that success hinges on building an extensive, interconnected, diverse network of relationships to peers, mentors, organizations. How do you think that differs from previous learning approaches, and what ways do you think we're working toward a more connected learning as educators?
Because when students are more connected, they get invested in their learning and they're more interested in it, and that invested, like when you're invested in your learning, you can get into what they call that flow. And that's like the perfect time between your bored
right.
and your overstimulated into it. And getting into that flow is when you have the best engagement, and that's the goal of learning.
I love that, the flow. What a great point. Do you want to move into discussing some of this K-pop study? I thought this was so interesting.
It was a different way. I never really thought too much about like how K-pop and like following can be a different way of communities.
Yeah, definitely. It was so funny to me to hear Stan Twitter being talked about in such a formal academic sense. Have you ever heard of Stan Twitter?
No, but I'm still very new to Twitter. I never really used it.
No, that's fair. It's basically, it's just an online fan community that is specific to Twitter as a platform. I actually used to be really deep into Stan Twitter when I was in high school. I actually met my best friend throughout high school on Stan Twitter. We met in person on several occasions, but the majority of our whole friendship was online since she lived thousands of miles away. And we definitely formed one of those extremely close bonds, communicated regularly, and were part of a close-knit community where everyone contributed something. And those are all such key points that the study found was true for K-pop's community as well. And then, that being said, I also witnessed the power hierarchy that this article mentioned among members of my own community as well. A lot of the hierarchy were based on seniority and knowledge, i.e. how long you'd been a fan, how long you'd been on Twitter, and how much you knew about the subject. And we all looked up to those people who were fans since the beginning and wanted to know what they knew. And they were on top of the hierarchy because they had the most followers and they had the most influence in the community. The article actually backs up what I found to be true myself. And I'm so fascinated by Stan Twitter communities and have always thought they were surreal even when I was in one. So I thought that was really interesting. Have you ever been a part of a virtual community?
Yes, I've done a lot with virtual communities. My biggest area of my virtual communities is I spend a lot of time, I actually learned how to sew because of virtual communities. And I sew my own outfits, like sweatshirts that people want to buy. I was shocked when people saw it. And
all my goodness.
They're like nice enough clothes that I wear all the time. Like most people don't realize that almost all I make my own clothes. But
I did not know this about you, Shannon.
But I learned through these communities. And what the one thing about the K-pop article it didn't really talk about is there's a whole community. Like for me, because it was a new hobby that I picked up, they talked about it in another article, was about the lurkers. Like you start off in this community sort of watching and looking into it. And I definitely looked into it and watched and just maybe liked the photos first and saw how things did. And it was very intriguing watching and stuff. Like, and that was how I lurked for a lot. And because I found this in another article and it was talking about how like social networking influence like everyday crafting in terms of like you going from the virtual world to the physical world and how the connection can make it. And it was really cool because it's like, yes, you're in this virtual world and I can talk to people across the world, but at the same time, and it was like, for a long time, I never even shared my own things on my own Facebook page, but I could share them in these communities because I felt safe. I could share my ideas and you could see like the people who share often are the ones that, this one, it's a little different because it's more the people who share often of the things that they do are the ones that are looked up and do it highly. But what's interesting, interesting about these communities is how they've changed. Like I've been part of them for a number of years, and where the sizing was pretty typical of how like the patterns were in the stores, but over the past like 4 or 5 years, I've watched as the patterns became more inclusive of sizing to include more different body shapes, so that these shapes,
that's amazing.
The patterns ended up adjusting to fit more people and body shapes. And that was what's so nice about these communities is that they were like talking about people and adjust and helping people adjust it so that every pattern can fit every person. And that's what's so welcoming about these communities. So that's where I felt so welcome in these spots.
That's so interesting and really amazing that they're including more people in these pattern mm-hmm. sizes yes. now. So I actually wanted to see if I could find another study of virtual communities that it was comparable to K-pop mm-hmm. findings. And I actually found one about another virtual community of practice, specifically.
Yes.
And I found...
Yeah, so what did you find?
Sorry. So I found that the findings of this one were actually very similar to the K-pop's ones. The study focused on a group called the Policy Circle, which was a group of professionals from Canada who were committed to improving healthcare policies. And let me read you a little bit of their conclusion. So, quote, "The Policy Circle was successful in facilitating knowledge exchange by creating a community that promoted trust, a sense of belonging, and a supportive environment." Doesn't that sound a lot like the
yes,
other
it's
study?
It's amazing how these communities definitely, like, there's an anonymity that allows you to build this trust that's an interesting way of creating this safe spot that you can grow as a person. It's amazing.
Exactly. I think the presence of trust was such an interesting point that this study brought up that the K-pop article didn't explicitly yeah. state. A kind of crucial part of these viral virtual communities is that the participants trust each other. They trust that they can speak their mind, that they won't be judged or made fun of, and that other members of the group will be there to listen. Actually, in the K-pop interviews, one fan even said they face criticism and judgment in real life because of their interests. These communities have to feel like a safe, judgment-free place in order to have the communities that they do. So I appreciate this study mentioning that factor.
Yes, and so that was the article I had found too. It was that it takes a little bit
right.
while people will lurk, is that they're lurking because they're watching and seeing how everybody is treated. And when they feel that trust, then they feel like they can join in because they've seen that trust from the community.
Definitely. I totally think that's true. And I found that in my own virtual communities as well.
Yes. No, it's the communities are such a wonderful spot. Like, I've done so much there, but even in my coaching of my robotics world, I wouldn't have gotten anywhere with my teams. Mm-hmm. I didn't have those places to learn and learn from coaches and be able to interact and grow from the information that we can share and talk. They're just safe places to share information from around the world, because almost every one of my communities that I'm in, I have people from every part of the world that talk together. It's amazing.
Definitely. Same for mine. You could find someone from every country, every place, every walk of life. It's so interesting to see how these people come together regardless of their differences and support something that they're interested in.
Yes. It's definitely that's...
I think these communities are great. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So anybody who's not part of a community or finding things and you have an interest, it's definitely a fun way to use them. I honestly spend most of my time on social media in these virtual communities, not really looking at my friend stuff. I find this is where I actually like getting information, but I'm always a person that loves to learn, and I find these groups are a great place to learn from.
I totally agree. I've learned so much about my interests from these groups. I definitely recommend this to people who have not tried it. I would try joining a virtual community.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Baby, I just gotta know the answer.
Who's the one you think of night and day? Ain't no time to waste. I'm just trying to say,
who do you love?